Daniel chapter 17, verse 17. And this morning I want to speak on faithfulness and our faithfulness in our lives. And in 2018 we have an epidemic, especially within America, not only just with America churches, but in America society as a whole. And it goes beyond just millennials. We can blame the millennials for it. It goes beyond that. It impacts every generation. Every generation that is in this room today. Every generation that is out there. And it is an epidemic of lack of faithfulness within our lives. Lack of faithfulness within our marriages. Lack of faithfulness at the workplace. Lack of faithfulness with our commitments to one another. Lack of faithfulness at school. Lack of faithfulness at church and serving. Lack of faithfulness to God. Lack of faithfulness who He's called us to be. And we need to become people that begin to develop faithfulness in our lives. No matter what point of your life that you're at, you need to begin developing faithfulness in your life. You know, I began thinking about this message a few weeks ago when Rhea asked me a question. These questions are getting harder, man. They're not getting any easier as she gets older. I miss the questions of unicorns. I long for a unicorn question. I can knock unicorns out of the park, man. Fairies, give me a fairy question any day of the week. But she asked me, she said, Daddy. I was like, what's that, sweetie? We're riding down the road together. I always drag her to the grocery store with me because she'll just start talking. And so I dragged her to the grocery store, and she's just, you know, usually it's just kidding around and joking, but very occasionally, as fathers, especially with daughters, all you need to do is listen, because they'll tell you everything. So she said, Daddy, what does character mean? I was like, character. And you know, they want an answer now. They don't want to have to wait on an answer. And I said, character is the idea, sweetie. To me, it's what people think when you're not in the room. It's what feeling that you left them with, or what have you developed in your life that when maybe an accusation comes, they'll say, no, that's not that person that I know. When a trial takes place, they know that they can rely on you because you've already, through your life, instilled and shown certain things. And I think that's something that we see, and character to me is developed, a strong character is developed through our faithfulness where we're at. Through our faithfulness to one another, it's our faithfulness in our lives. And here's David. And we'll jump into this right in the middle of this whole thing. And in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 17, then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephod of this dried grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their thousands, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back news to me. Lord, add your blessing to your word today. Allow it to be life unto us. And so here is David, the shepherd. David, the least among all of his brothers. The one that was out there in the fields. The one that was faithful to his father's commandments. But the problem is, here's David also, one chapter before, being anointed to be the next king. Something just doesn't add up there. Because as most theologians say, he's around 15 years old, maybe a little bit younger. Maybe slightly older, around maybe 14, 15 years old. He is just anointed to be the next king. And I'm sorry, Dad, I'm not your servant anymore. You can't tell me what to do. Haven't we had those great discussions with our dads, right? I'm a man now, Dad. But David had the ultimate. I'm your king. Don't you know who I am? Didn't you? You were there, Dad. See, because just a chapter before, and some chapters before that, Saul was the king. He was the first king of Israel. And the prophet went to him and stripped his king out of his hand, his kingdomship out of his hand, because he had a lack of faithfulness in his own personal life. He began disobeying God and disobeying God and disobeying God. And then finally, the straw that broke the camel's back was he was told by God and the prophet to go into a city and wipe the king out and wipe everything out. Utterly destroy everything, even their sheep. And so he went and they had a fierce battle and they won the day. And rather than destroying the king and rather than destroying all the livestock, he kept some of the choice, some of the very best. And the prophet comes in there. He says, "What is this thing that you've done? I hear in my ears. I hear the being of sheep. And what's going on? And I here's the king. And this isn't what you were told to do." And he has a response like I think a lot of us do. "Well, I saved these because I was going to sacrifice them to God." And we can say, "Well, that, you know, his heart was wicked. Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't." I'll give him the benefit. I'll say he absolutely. I'll say, absolutely, that's what he was going to do. But that wasn't the case. Because the prophet looked at him and said, "It is better to obey than to sacrifice. It's better to be faithful in what God has called you to do. It's better to be faithful where God has planted you. It's better for you to be faithful with who God has called you and where God is leading you, rather than to look at it and say, 'Well, I'm doing this and I'm doing this, and man, I'm so busy, and man, I'm so busy.' Well, maybe you're so busy because you're doing some things that God has never asked you to do. And you need to begin examining yourself and where you're at and where you're going, and make sure you're listening to the voice of your Father." And so the king was stripped of his kingdom. And Saul would go and he would mourn for the king, and he would mourn for the kingdom. And Samuel would go and he would mourn for those things. And all of a sudden the Lord would speak to Samuel, the prophet, and he would say, "Okay, it's time you stop mourning for this man, and I've selected another, and he's going to follow after my heart. He's going to be a man of my choosing." And so he goes and he goes to Jesse's house, and he goes to anoint him the next king. And he looks at the oldest son, and the oldest son was head and shoulders above all of them, just like Saul was. He looked like a king. If you want a king, you need to look like the part, right? Can't have some kid with a kingdom. He looked like the part. He had the attitude. He had the physicality that we wanted to desire, especially in those days, of what a king should be. And he looks at him, and he thinks, what we all do, we look at the outside and we don't look at the inside, and we say, "There's somebody that looks good. They got it all together. Their social media accounts is blowing up. They got more likes than I do. So they must have their lives perfect." And God says, "No, no, no, that's not who I've chosen." And he goes through all of Jesse's sons, and he gets to the last one, and he's not it either. And he looks at Jesse and says, "You have to have another one. Because God's led me here for a reason. That's to anoint the next king of your sons. You have to have somebody else." He says, "Yeah, I have him, but he's of no significance. He's watching the sheep. He's not a king. He's my youngest, my least. He's out there watching the sheep." And he told him, he said, "We're not even going to sit down until he comes." And he comes, and God speaks to him, says, "There's a man that is going to follow after my own heart." Not saying that David was perfect. He made a lot of mistakes. But at that moment, he poured the oil on his face. He anointed him to be next king. And he had every right at that point to stop doing all those things that was beneath him. He had every right at that point to say, "Dad, I'm sorry, I can't do this thing that you're asking me to do, because I need to build my platform. I need to have a recruiting station set up, because I need to go get a bunch of guys together and people that are going to serve me, and I'm going to have to go, and I'm going to have to march into this throne, and I'm going to have to take this throne, and I got to build this thing." Forgetting that it was God who called him to build, allow him to build it for him. So here he is sometime later, and his father says, "Son, I need you to be an errand boy. Dad, I'm anointed to be king." And we have those attitudes when we feel like God is leading us somewhere sometimes. Or maybe we get a position of importance or what perceived importance, and all of a sudden all those other things are beneath us. Taking care of people, loving people, encouraging people, sending out a card. All of a sudden, those things are beneath us, because how can I, when I have such responsibility over here? I have this great calling. It was some time ago, I was looking for somebody to speak. It was a few years ago. Esther and I forget where we were going, probably marathon or something like that. Who knows? God, those days are gone. I'm just saying, I'm not missing running at all. I just love brownies right now. I was looking for somebody to call as for speaking, and I remembered a gentleman, and he was trying to, you know, he was young and he wanted speaking opportunities, and I thought, "Oh, you know, I'll give this guy a speaking opportunity," because I love giving people opportunities. I love just you know, allowing people to flourish where God's called them to be, and, you know, always looking back and saying, "Hey, we were maybe a part of that somehow." And the most he's ever done is spoken on a few Wednesday nights here and there at churches, and so I was going to give him, you know, Sunday morning experience, you know, prime time. So I called him up. I said, hey, man, I got these dates open if you want to come and speak. And, you know, I've heard some good things about you. He's like, oh, absolutely, I'm available. I was like, awesome. I knew he would be. That wasn't a question. Then he says, well, let me send you my contract. I was like, excuse me? Your contract? You have a contract. You've never spoken anywhere on a Sunday morning, but you already have a contract prepared. And you live 20 minutes away, and within your contract is everything that you need to be able to speak. It's like, I think you've gotten a little bit too far ahead of yourself. I think you need to realize a little bit of humility where you're at right now and just accept whatever comes your way, no matter how much that might look. And I don't really think that you're ready to be able to speak on a Sunday morning if that is the type of attitude that you have. I called up his pastor. His pastor totally agreed to, by the way. But it's that faithfulness. It's not getting ahead of yourself. Yeah, if he was, you know, speaking in lights out auditoriums, if he was packing, you know, speaking in mega, yeah, send the contract. Totally understand that. But you're not there yet. And sometimes I think we get so far ahead of ourselves that we forget where the Bible tells us. There's faithfulness in those small things. Make you ruler over much. It's that everyday faithfulness that begins building that person's character. It's that everyday faithfulness that begins to allow you to step into your next assignment. It's that everyday faithfulness of loving the wife, loving the spouse. It's that everyday faithfulness of showing up at the job. It's that everyday faithfulness of doing your best at school. It's your everyday faithfulness of saying, I'm going to give it all to God today, no matter what that might look like. Even if that is me having to look at and just pick up some bread and dates and a little bit of cheese and do what my Heavenly Father's asked me to do. Even if it seems like it's so little and insignificant. Because maybe that little and insignificant thing on that day might be the door that opens up to a greater thing. See, because David went to the battlefield and he saw something that just totally blew his mind. There was a giant that stood around 9 feet tall, and he was out there, and every day he would come out and he would challenge the entire army of Israel. Send out your warriors. I'll fight them. Our armies don't need to fight this thing out. Just whoever between me and this guy wins, then that's who's going to win today. And he would go out there shouting and belittling them and belittling their God. And there was such a spirit of fear that nobody wanted to move. All of these warriors are out there. And here comes David with his cheese and his bread and some dates. And he just goes out there and he said, what's the matter? And he goes to his brothers and says, what's going on, guys? Let's go fight this guy. Let's do this thing. Well, his brothers tell him, go back home to dad. This is not a place for a child. Did you ever think how crazy this is? How much spirit of fear there was? The army didn't want to move, even though they were mighty. Even though they had so many promises of God in their lives. But fear stuck them in place. So crazy that a child would go to the king and say, I'll fight your giants for you. And the king says, yes. And the king says, here's my armor. And David's like, no, I don't need that. I got a slingshot and some stones. Okay, that sounds like a good battle plan. No, it doesn't. But it sounds like the only plan that they could see at that moment, because they were so afraid. And they were so far from being the faithful army who God had called them to be, that a child's voice who said, I'll go into battle. Goes into battle. He kills the giant. He takes his head off. He goes and he gets it put into the throne room. He's a choice servant of Saul. He becomes a mighty warrior himself. He goes through trials. He goes through situations. But the entire time he maintained faithfulness in his own personal life. And we can never expect to go into what God has the very best for us if we do not find ourselves faithful. And if we're not faithful in the things that God wants us to be faithful in. I don't know where you're at in your life. And maybe you woke up this morning and you feel like you're so far from where God, you felt like he had promised. And David had those times too. David had those times in the sanctuary. He had those times in the throne room. But he also had those times in the cave, where he was still called by God, where he was still anointed to be the next king, but he was so far from that promise that he could not see it at that point. And maybe that's where you're at this morning in your own personal life. Maybe you feel like you're in this cave of isolation. Maybe you feel like you're in this cave of despair. And maybe you feel like, God, I must have missed it somehow because there's no way that you could have ever led me into this cave. But God's saying, just maintain your faithfulness and allow him to work out your cave experience, because he still has that palace waiting on you if you maintain your faithfulness. David never lost his faithfulness, but he maintained his faithfulness to God, and God was able to use him. No, he wasn't perfect. He made mistakes like crazy, but what he did was maintain a faithful heart to the Lord, in his life. This morning, I don't know where you're at, church. Maybe you're looking at situations and you're just saying, well, it's too beneath me. Remember what Jesus did when he heard his disciples arguing about who was going to be the very greatest. Everybody was arguing who was going to sit next to the Lord on the right-hand side when they get to heaven. That was the place of prominence and power in their minds. Jesus heard them arguing, and in one of his very last acts on this earth, before he went to be sacrificed, was to tie a towel around his waist and bend down and begin washing their feet, doing the lowliest job that even servants wouldn't want to do. He said, if any of you want to be the greatest, you need to learn how to serve the most. You need to learn how to be faithful where you're at. I don't know where you're at today, but maintain your faithfulness to him. Maintain your faithfulness to your family. Maintain your faithfulness to school, to work, to the military, wherever you're at this morning, maintain your faithfulness, and God will see you to where he wants you to be. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to come here this morning, Lord, and to give you praise. Lord, we thank you, Father, to be able to give you the honor, Lord, and help us this morning to maintain our faithfulness in our lives, Father. Wherever we're at this morning, Lord, help us, Father, whether we feel like we're right into the palace or whether we feel like we're in a cave. Help us to be faithful, no matter what it is that you're asking us to do. We thank you. We praise you. In Christ's name, amen. As we get ready to close, the next hymn plays. If you're here and you've never made him Lord of your life this morning, we would invite you down, not to gawk at you or stare at you, but to simply rejoice with you this morning that you've made the decision to follow him in your own personal life. God bless you.